1.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. heard right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a biblical answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 855-722-4253, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And joining us today, as has been for a good long while now, we sure appreciate Frank Briscoe, the gospel preacher at Santo. He is going to be running our boards for us tonight, and very essential that we have him here with us. It works so much better with Frank around to make sure that we stay in line here. We do think we've got a good program for you tonight. We're going to be talking about something that has been very apparent in our society here lately. We're going to be talking about race and racism, but before we get into what we're going to talk about, we want you to know that we are broadcasting from Studio 4 here in Stephenville, Texas at the Hillcrest Building. We will be airing at KATX FM 97.7 out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Texas, and also we will be broadcasting here in Stephenville, Texas at 98.5 FM and also at 107.9. Now, we understand we may be having some trouble with the 98.5 station KBWY, and don't worry, if you can just turn to 107.9, you will get the same station and you can pick us up there as well. We also are on the gospelradionetwork.org, and that will be on your internet. And if you want to get there, the easiest way to get there is to go to the harrisandmoore.org, and then it will take you to the Gospel Radio Network. Just click on the microphone and follow the instructions. You'll be on the internet, and we would love to have you any way you want to listen. This program is also going to be rebroadcast tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Tuesday at this website at theharrisonmoore.org. Now, our motto, and we are proud of this motto because we want you to know that we don't want you to hear our opinion. We want you to hear what God has to say. And our motto is this: you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say.
Now, David, I don't know if you said this or if I just fell asleep while you were doing it, but we're also airing on KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock, and also KVOP AM 1090 in the Plainview area.
Well, when we picked this up out of my filing system, it was the old folder.
Oh.
So I appreciate you making that addition there too, and we're very, very glad to be airing out there in the Lubbock and the Plainview area as well. This is a live call-in program, and this program is yours. We want you to think about it as yours, and we want you to call in with questions and comments. And the number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE. Just spell it out, 855-QUESTIONS-ANSWERS-BIBLE. and you'll get right to us. Also, you can email your questions to us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, and it may take us a day or two to get everything squared away on that, to get your answers. And I know that we have a couple of questions on the email right now, Tom, that we have not answered, that we will get around to before this week is out. And if you'll just be patient with us, we'll get there. Now, if you are tuning in via the internet, the gospelradionetwork.org or harrisonmoore.org, there is a chat room there. And we encourage you to go to the chat room, because there you can express your opinions or your questions. You can write them down, and we will try to, as we go through here, we'll make some comments on some of the chat room literature that we receive from you, and we'd be glad to do so. We would rather have you call in, though. You can also sign up for the podcast of the program at theharrisonmoore.org. at the RSS feed at the bottom right-hand corner of the webpage. And we want to take this opportunity as well to welcome our additional sponsors. Of course, you have the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. You have the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton. But we also have the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas. The DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon, Texas. The Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas. The Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas. The Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. And the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo. The Windmill Church of Christ, which is located south of I-20 on Ten Top Road in Weatherford, Texas. And also one of our great sponsors for this program is the Santo Church of Christ. And we want to thank all of our sponsors that make this program available without any commercial interruptions. We don't have to have that, because we have brethren that want to get this word out. Now, as I said at the beginning of the program, we're going to deal with something that is maybe touchy for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. There's been an awful lot said here in the last few years concerning race and racism. I think a lot of this has to do with the current administration, who has put this at the forefront. Nevertheless, regardless of how it got there, it really doesn't matter. We've all seen the riots in Ferguson, Missouri. We've seen the riots in Baltimore. We have all of this has been attributed to race and racism and violence that comes about because of this race and racism attitude that is prevailing right now in our country. Now, the media has been accelerating the fire of this controversy with plenty of fuel, as you know. And what we are witnessing today in America is something that we have not seen in years as far as people's thinking on race and racism. So tonight, we have had a request to deal with the problem of race and racism from the standpoint of religion and from the standpoint of God's Word. And we're going to begin this program tonight. We would ask that you, if you are in a position to do so, to take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to look at Galatians chapter 3. We're going to see what it has to say. And this is going to be the text of our lesson. We'll come back to this through and through. Tom, you have the passage drawn up there. Let us know what Galatians 3, beginning at verse number 26, has to say to us.
Exactly. Galatians chapter 3, beginning verse 26, running through verse 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You know, David, that is indeed a very key passage to what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Right.
But you know, David, defining words, though, as we begin our thoughts tonight on race and racism and answering the question that we have, defining words really are paramount to really understanding the issues that are set before us.
No doubt.
If there's not an understanding of the words being used, then you don't really have any idea what's going on, or you have a misconception as to what really is taking place. And so we want to begin by defining race and racism. And David, isn't it true that you really can't separate, or at least it's hard to separate racism and race?
Well, it's really an impossibility to do so, because one is the root word of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to see here, and I think our audience will have to agree when we run through here and we get these definitions of race and racism, it may be quite a bit different than what you might have imagined.
And when we think about the definition of racism as defined by dictionaries,
mm-hmm.
and then think about how the term is being used in our day,
right,
then you understand why there's a lot of problem that does not have to exist.
Exactly. Exactly. So what, Tom, is racism? What is the definition of racism?
Racism is when one race believes it is superior to another, resulting in oppression. Now, it is not necessarily a black-white issue, especially, David, when one considers the definition of race. And that is what it has become in the United States of America, a black-white issue. But that is not what racism really is.
No, it's not.
So to help us to understand racism, Dave, we have to understand race,
right,
don't we?
So we got to have both definitions, or it's not going to really do us a whole lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
So you gave us the definition of racism, and I want you to repeat that, and then I want to come right back and give you the definition of race right behind it.
So racism is when one race believes it is superior to another, resulting in oppression.
Okay, now, here is what race is, the definition of race. A people of common descent, common occupation, based on physical characteristics. And so here we have race believes it is superior to another, resulting in oppression of a people of common descent, common occupation, based on physical characteristics. So there you have the combination of the both.
So in reality, David, race and racism does not necessarily have anything to do with the color
No.
of one's skin.
It can have.
It can.
But it doesn't really have to do it. As a matter of fact, it's not even in the definition.
Exactly. And so a lot of the racism that might be in the world has nothing to do with the color of one's skin.
Amen.
It has something to do with, well, like you say, one's occupation, one's physical characteristics. You know, a person of black skin could be racial toward another person of black skin based upon common descent, occupation, or physical characteristics, just like white on white, brown on brown. And so it has to do with a common descent, common occupation, based on physical characteristics. Now, look at this again, David. Racism is when one believes it is superior to another, resulting in oppression. A race is a people of common descent, common occupation, based on physical characteristics. And yet, David, what are we seeing in our world being described as racism?
It's black on white.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tom, I several years ago I went to South Africa, and I discovered racism and prejudice to the nth degree there, and it was against black and what they called colored. There was the big racist was not white, it was black against colored. And the colored were a mixed breed of white and black. And there is where the prejudice existed, which now brings us to another term that we've got to throw in here. We've got racism. Now we've got race defined. But now what is prejudice?
Well, David, prejudice is an irrational attitude of hostility directed against an individual, a group, a race, or their supposed characteristics.
So all three of these are intertwined very, very, very closely.
Yeah, and yet, why are we allowing, David, the culture in which we live to redefine terminology concerning anything that, well, that it may be controversial?
Yes.
If they don't like it, they'll redefine terms. And nowadays, if you disagree with what we're saying, you're a racist.
Yes. Not what Harrison Moore is saying, but with what other people out there in the world are saying. And you know, we, on several different other programs, you know, you're talking about controversial issues. It seemed like we just say in the middle of the controversial issues all the time because we want to see what the Bible has to say about these controversial issues.
And people are wondering.
Yes.
You know, how do we deal with this situation? Well, the Bible has the answer.
Absolutely.
And that's why, you know, you have heard what men have had to say. Let's listen to what the Bible has to say. And one of the reasons we deal with these issues that are popping up in our world is because we want people to understand that the Bible has all things that pertain to life and godliness to the knowledge of Him that's called us to glory and virtue, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible has the answer.
It has the answer, and there's no need to go any further. But we get back to what you say. Why are we allowing our culture, the culture in which we live, to redefine the terminology concerning anything that might be controversial? We're allowing it to happen because people in high places have decided that they're not going to allow us to call whatever is. You know, we've talked about this in abortion, the changing of terminology. We've talked about this in homosexual lifestyle, the radical homosexual lifestyle, the same-sex marriage, and the changing of the terminology. And then when we get to racism and racist, we see another changing of the terminology and making something out to what it's not. So what we have established so far here, Tom, is that race and racism and prejudice are all very closely intertwined, and until we get a good concept of what we're talking about here, we can't answer a true question about racism.
Exactly. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight, we're talking about race and racism, and we're talking about this due to a question that has been given to us about this issue. We've defined racism. We've defined race. We've defined prejudice. We've shown how all of these are interconnected. And we've also noted how there are people today who are using these terms in an inappropriate way, in a way that they were not meant to be used. And so, David, the question that has been given us via internet, and again, we encourage you to, if you have questions that you don't ask on the line here, you can always email us questions, and we'll get to them as soon as we can. The email address is questions@harrisonmoore.org. That will then go to David's box and my box, and we will be more than happy to address the question. And more than likely, if we don't address it personally through email, more than likely we'll talk about it on the air because it's something that other people might be interested in.
Well, here's another good question that just cropped up on the chat box, and this is a good question. Bill sends it in. It says, has not racism, per definition, as we just gave it, been created by man for his own benefit? And the answer to that is yes.
Yeah.
The answer to that is yes. A very, very, very good, astute question that has been posted on the chat box.
And you know, David, that term racist, racism, prejudice is continually being redefined from year to year, again, based on how one is best benefited by it.
Right. And also, let us never forget that the media is in the business to make money.
Mm-hmm.
The media is not necessarily in the business to tell you the truth. They're in business to make money. And if they can make money by stirring up controversy and changing terminology, they will do it. And we're not saying that you can't trust anything that you hear, but we are saying this: please question what you hear.
Just because it's on the internet don't make it so.
No, and just because it's on Fox News doesn't make it
so. Exactly right. And so, David, the question that we're going to look at in connection with our discussion tonight, the questionnaire asked, why are there white and black churches? Now, David, when we think about this idea of white and black churches, first of all, we need to realize that there is no scriptural authority for this, provided, provided there is prejudice involved or racism or some kind of race. You know, just because there is a black church and a white church in a town does not mean there is racism or prejudice involved. And so that's the very first thing we've got to consider in this.
Right. Now, when we've jumped over the definitions, we don't want you to forget what the definitions are. But now, Tom and I are going to do something that you don't hear. Never have I heard in all of this racism and the racist and the prejudice and the controversy and the riots. Never have I heard, Tom, anyone address this from a biblical standpoint. So when we get this question, and this is a beautiful question, why are there white and black churches? Now, there is an answer to this, but the answer is going to come from Scripture here, and we're going to see that there is no authority to have a black church or a white church based upon any of the definitions that we've given. The only reason it could be is because somebody desires to have it that way, and they do it. And not because they're racially divided, not because they're prejudiced against anybody. It could be for several different reasons, and we're going to get into those reasons in just a moment. But I would encourage you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 2 and verse 1, and we're going to see how that there is no scriptural authority for a prejudiced racial black church or a prejudiced racial white church.
Exactly.
And here's what the Word of God says. My brethren, have not the faith of my Lord, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons.
Did you get a telephone call?
Okay, we got a phone call coming in. Would you give us your name and
hung up.
Okay, here we go. Let's look again at James chapter 2 and verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of person. You can't have the faith in Christ Jesus and the system of the gospel with partiality or with respect of persons. You can't do that. In other words, what he's saying here, Tom, is your faith is vain if you have a church that is absolutely and totally white because of prejudice or because of racism. Now, we'll try to take the call again. Caller, give us your first name and your question or your comment, please.
Mr. Moore, this is Rusty again.
Hello, Rusty. It had been a while. Good to hear from you.
And I'm always catching you at an inopportune minute. But, you know, the deal with the black and white churches. Well, now, I'm from here. I was born here. But I growed up in deep, deep, deep South Texas. And I'm a dues paying member to the Marcellina Baptist down there. And there's a Trinity Baptist, and it's black. And we get together, and we have barbecues, and we have revivals. And we all went to school together, see? Does this make any sense?
Well, in a way, we're
one people.
Yes.
Okay. So they all go to church in town, and I go to church in the country, and but we're one people. We're brothers.
Sir.
I don't care what color we are.
Exactly.
I don't think they do neither.
And that's what we're going to be talking about through this program, because just because there is a white church and a black church doesn't mean that there's prejudice involved. And that's one of the things we're going to be showing here in just a few moments. And you're exactly right about that, Rusty.
You know, one day I went to work with a red tennis shoe and a green tennis shoe, and I didn't know it. And they were making fun of me. I was driving a tractor, baling hay. And they said, "You're colorblind." Well, I guess I am, ain't I?
Well, that's a good way to put it, Rusty. That's a good way to put it. Well, yeah, as we go,
right, I'm gonna get off the air. I'm gonna get off your phone line and let y'all talk.
Okay. Right, well, we appreciate your comment and appreciate your input.
Let me say something on what Rusty just said about colorblind.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of people when they talk about race and black and white, they mention that they're colorblind. Friends, we're not colorblind. I have a good friend. We all in this room right here, we have a good friend named Mike Bonner, and he's a black preacher. I know he's black, and he knows I'm white. You know, colorblind is not the deal. We're talking about color does not matter.
Yes.
So let's not use terms that aren't really true, because I know if a person's black or not. I know if a person's white or not. But that's not what we're talking about. Right now we're talking about, is it wrong to have white and black churches? Well, if they're white and black because they're prejudiced toward one another, then according to James 2 and verse 1, that is sin, and it is wrong.
Well, and he makes the point here in James chapter 2 and verse 1 that your faith is worthless if that's the case.
Exactly.
That is the point that is being made there. So, in getting back to the question, why are there white and black churches? The explanation, Tom, may come because of tradition.
Exactly.
And here is something else that needs to be thrown in the mix. You got race, you got racism, you got prejudice, and also you have tradition that takes place in people's lives.
Now, again, we're not saying that this is always true, but this may be one reason why there is black and white churches. You know, at one time, all the way back to slavery, David, wasn't it true that the whites and blacks did not worship together as a general rule?
Yes, it was.
But at one time, before slavery ended, during the Restoration Movement in the United States of America, many churches of Christ were in an effort trying to bring and integrate the slaves back into the worship services of our Lord. And David, what began happening as a result of that?
Well, you know, when you read the Bible, you've got to understand, and it's got to be very apparent to everyone, that everybody has a soul.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's soul is just as valuable to God as the next one. And the churches of our Lord were recognizing at that point everybody has a soul. And they were doing what they could to make sure that they were going to be able to enjoy salvation as well, because they had a soul that was just as valuable as everybody else's. So, and at this particular time, Tom, one of the great interesting things that you're going to find in history, and it's documented in secular history very, very well, at this time the audience was also separated by gender.
Mm-hmm.
They would have the women on one side and the men on the other side, and then the slaves were in the balcony. And this is how they were worshiping in many places at that particular time.
You know, and so here we have an example, David, where there was prejudice involved, but the church says, you know, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
We need to solve this scenario. So they begin to gradually bring things back the way that they ought to be, you know, as we see there in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, we're all one in Christ. And
absolutely.
So because of tradition sometimes, that's the way it's been for a long time. You may have the, and they're not this way because of prejudice. It's just this way because, well, we've always done this. The blacks were worshiping here. So it's not necessarily wrong. But to me, David, one of the things that's really separating white and black churches today is that of culture. You know, the attitudes and behaviors that are a characteristic of a particular social group and organization, well, that's what culture is. I have a different culture than you have, really,
yes.
Don't you?
Yes.
And different from Frank. And David, and sometimes people can worship separately because of culture and still be worshiping correctly, but because of culture, it's a little bit different, something we're not used to. And I have the perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to India several years ago, when we were in a worship service with those of India, much of it was much different than we're used to in the United States of America, for example. Now, before I get into that, remember the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, in India, David, they would, like back what we mentioned a moment ago, on one side would sit the women, on the other side would sit the men. Do you think that our ladies would be comfortable with that today? No. I guarantee my wife wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, David, there were some, the men, many of them, when they prayed, they would get down on their knees and lay head forward as they prayed. Well, I guarantee if somebody did that in Hamilton, Texas, right there in the middle of the floor, there'd be a lot of people who'd be very uncomfortable with that. But that was common practice. There's nothing sinful with it, nothing wrong with it, but that was their cultural way of bowing their heads.
Well, and all that we're speaking about here is a different approach to worship that is still scriptural. I mean, there we see, you know, when we read in our Bibles about the different positions that a person can pray. We have people laying down prostrate on the ground. We have people kneeling. We have people bowing their heads. We have numerous different ways of how we can pray to God. And what we use traditionally and culturally where we are may be totally different to the way that they are in India, or you can just go anywhere you want to. And as we mentioned earlier, this is not necessarily a black-white issue.
And so sometimes, David, a congregation of predominantly people who are black, and I've been to some congregations who are predominantly, if not all, black, and it's indeed true that they sing just a little bit differently than we do. You know, and sometimes the blacks might say, well, I don't like the way the whites are singing over there because they don't put not enough spirit into it. And
mm-hmm.
So they're not comfortable over there. Well, that's fine as long as it's not because of prejudice and they're still doing things biblically. There's no problem with that. And
mm-hmm.
maybe it's vice versa. I don't want to worship over there because, you know, the song leader never follows the notes in the songbook, you know.
Right.
Well, some of it's that way as well. And so we've got to realize that sometimes there are black and white congregations because of culture. But, you know, David, in connection with that, isn't it true that sometimes it's just a mere because of location?
Yes.
Isn't it true that maybe there are more blacks on one side of town than there are? And why would they want to drive all the way across town to worship over there? Is there a need for that?
No, there's not. As a matter of fact, people like to be practical.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to drive 10 miles to service, or if you have to drive a half a mile to service, where are you more apt to be if things don't just work out? You're going to be at the half mile place.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have to leave 30 minutes early to get where you're trying to be, it's just makes things more difficult for you. So location, location, location. A lot of times this is the answer to the reason that there are black churches and white churches. But let's don't leave out the Hispanic churches and other churches mm-hmm. that are in the area that have maybe a different race.
Or a different language.
A language is a barrier to people. But if you have all the same language and you all understand correctly the same, then the language is going to actually draw you together mm-hmm. instead of separate you. And so there are these things to consider as to the answer, why are there white and black churches? And it doesn't necessarily have to do with race, racism, or prejudice. A lot of times it's tradition, it's culture, and it's location.
But as we mentioned in the very beginning there on that section, if it is because of race, then it is sinful.
Yes,
as
absolutely.
Clearly seen in James 2 in verse 1.
And again, he says that your faith is worthless if you're based upon this kind of partiality and this kind of prejudice.
Exactly. And so, David, we asked another question that was kind of involved in what we were given is the church divided by skin color? How do we answer a question like that? Well, first of all, we have to base it on the definitions that we looked at in the beginning, right?
Yes. We got to go back to the definition.
You know, we've constantly had to remind ourselves of what we're talking about, racism. When one race believes it is superior to another, resulting in oppression, and race is a people of common descent, common occupation, based on physical characteristics. Racism and race has to constantly be defined accurately before you can understand whether a situation is really based upon racism or something else.
Right. And again, here we go. There's really no division by color alone. We have a distinction. Is the church divided by skin color? Well, is the church divided by race? How about the Hispanic churches? And how about the Asian churches? And how about the Palestinian churches? It's not all about black and white. And yet, when you say racism, immediately, our mind jumps out at what we've seen on television screens here for the last 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about riot, race, and unhappiness, and violence, and oppression one toward another.
Racism, again, is not about skin color. David, my skin changes color. In the wintertime, I'm pretty light-skinned. In the summertime, I'm pretty dark-skinned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not about skin color. Again, what is racism? Racism has to do with race. Race that is a common descent, common occupation based upon physical characteristics. And David, when we think about this idea based on the definition of race, racism, prejudice, there is no division by color alone. As you mentioned, Hispanic. What about Asians?
Asians.
Here's one that we talked about earlier. Palestinian. You know, are we going to say, well, we don't want any Palestinians in our country or in our churches? Would that be wrong?
Certainly it'd be wrong.
Of course.
Because it would be based on race and not the individual that we're talking about here.
Right. And if we're basing that simply on ethnicity or color of a skin, that would be wrong. You know, but David, you know, sometimes we don't understand really what prejudice is all about. It's not about just simply skin color. Would you say that there's ever a time when we could be prejudiced?
Repeat that one more time.
Well, I'm trying to get you in a corner. Do you think that prejudice means to be against an action, does it not? We think about prejudice. Look at the idea of prejudice. Irrational attitude of hostility directed at any individual, a group, a race for their supposed characteristics. Was Jesus ever called prejudiced? Was he ever accused of the action of prejudice, you think? Would people call him prejudice?
No. As a matter of fact, it was just exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
They killed him because he was trying to include people in salvation that the Jews didn't want anybody to be included in.
Okay, now let me ask you this. If we were to say the same kind of thing that Jesus is saying then, today, would we be called prejudice?
Yes.
You see, there's where we're missing the boat, because people aren't understanding about race and racism and prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that affects the church. You know, we're talking here, David, about is the church divided by skin color? Why they're black and white churches? Well, a lot of times because people are, well, trying to redefine terms, redefine their terminology. But this question is why there is black and white division in the church. Why is there black and white division in the church? A lot of it's because of racism, is it not?
Yes.
And
now, you know, this kind of gets us to the next point in tradition. The answer is the church divided by skin color. The answer may lie in the fact that the church, wherever it is found, that church is going to take on the characteristic of the city in which it is found.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, the church that we find and read about in the book of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Now, this was a problem church. And the reason it was a problem church was the location of the church to begin with. And what we have here in this location of Corinth, one of Corinth's largest problems was that of prostitution. That's in the city now. And it was prostitution, and this was due to Corinth being the center of worship of the goddess Aphrodite, the goddess of love, which is a very, very immoral type of worship. And they were including, by the way, they were including prostitution in their worship services. Now, the city was allowed to come in the church, and that is not what God's design is. But it doesn't, because we are human, and because humans are involved in the church, then what happens a lot of times is that the culture, the tradition, the city, and even some of the immorality is brought into the church from the world. People don't get it off.
Exactly right. And, you know, and this was the problem in Corinth, wasn't it? And this
yes.
is the problem that Paul was addressing. Notice, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, that's 1 Corinthians 6, beginning verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." David, there were some, though, of those in the church there at Corinth who came out of that very thing that you just talked about, the worshiping of the goddess Aphrodite, the goddess of prostitution. They were involved in that. And David, sometimes a person can be washed of those things and yet allow them to linger, and it begins to do what? Develop and build its strength up into the church, and that's the problem that was going on here.
So looking at the scriptural context of what we just read, we get back to the question here. Is the church divided by skin color? And the answer to that is scripturally no. But the church is going to take on the characteristic of the city in which you find it.
So if you have a congregation of blacks or whites, it don't matter, and there is racial tension in the city, is it not true many times that racial tension begins to pop its ugly head up in the church.
No doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. And here, Paul pretty well tells us about it. He's talking about some immoral issues here, but also the prejudice, the race, and the racism is also an immoral issue. He just doesn't address it there. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is, and what we can see by this, is that whatever is outside is certainly liable to come inside based upon your location, mm-hmm. whatever that location happens to be. Now, the church did not take the city out. That was the problem there in Corinth, and this was the point that Paul was making. And when we look over here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, we read this. He says, "You," and talking about the members of the church there, "you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that is called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." That's the purpose of the church. That's what that word church means, the called out. And so we have been called out of the darkness, and we have been called into the marvelous light. And when you come out of that darkness and into the marvelous light, you do not bring immorality with you. You do not bring racism with you. You do not bring race as a factor with you. And you certainly don't bring the prejudice and the preferential treatment of one over the other, because that is not right according to God.
Exactly, David. And when we think about Christ and the building of his church, mm-hmm. when you said there in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, "Upon this rock," that is the confession that Peter said, "Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God," based upon that confession, Jesus says, "Upon that confession, I will build my church," mm-hmm. "and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." David, that's significant in light of the fact that the word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, meaning the called out. And so because we are to be called out of darkness, that means, David, we're not to allow the darkness to come into the church, the worldliness to come in to the church.
Amen.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about racism, and particularly, David, the poorly defined words that people are using and definitions with that we have in our day. We define what racism and race really is. We define what prejudice is. And we're talking about, David, how that sometimes racism can affect the church, and it happens when we allow the world to come in to the church.
And I think that is the key to the whole thing, allowing the world to come into the church. And when we look at the illustration that was given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in that particular congregation, We look at it and we can transfer this very easily. The tradition of the black and white church in each city has much to do with the particular characteristics of that city. And in many cases, the church has allowed the world to enter into the church. And that ought not to be so. James chapter 2, verse 9 tells us something about that. Before you read it, one more time, I'm going to give you the number. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. So in many cases, the church allowed the world to come in.
Exactly. And when that occurred, David, in regard to racism, the Bible says in James 2 and verse 9, "But if you show partiality or show respect to persons," King James, "you commit sin and are convicted as by the law as transgressors." You are, well, David, that's just simply saying if you are involved in prejudice and true racism, then that's sin.
Right.
You know, there's no way around it. We cannot, as a people, and be faithful to God, be involved in prejudice, whether it be because of race. And what is race, David? We talked about race. Again, we have to remind our people of what race is: a people of common descent, common occupation, people based on a physical characteristic, and it does not have to do necessarily with the color of one's skin.
No.
And yet that seems to always be what comes to the forefront in our present day.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 tells us, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." It's the same concept here. Delivered out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. When we are delivered out of that power of darkness, we got to leave the darkness behind.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kingdom is totally of light. Now, the churches in Asia, Tom, that are mentioned in the book of Revelation, they also took on the characteristics of this too. And still, this is not scriptural. And we have another great passage of scripture there that will show us beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is not scriptural.
Exactly. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." David, this says that we ought not to be conformed to the world.
Nor the definition that the world puts out there that they want us to embrace that is wrong and different from what it ought to be. Now, Tom, I want to do something because we're running out of time. And at the very beginning of this lesson, we said we were going to do something that hasn't been done. And our motto, you've heard what men have said. Now let's we hear what the Bible has to say. Now we want to look at what God's standard is, and the reason we want to get here before we run out of time is God's standard goes all the way back to the law of Moses, and I want us to do this before we get into the law of Moses and the principle of righteousness that it brought forward. When we look at prejudice, we look at race, we look at racism, we look at all of these things together, and we look at a political correct society that we live in here. What all of these things together are trying to do is take God's word, God's standard out of the way so that no one will have to abide by it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at God's standard, this is where we've got to go to get the answer to all of the questions that we have. And it looks like what we're going to have to do is come back next week and finish this. But I wanted to get this one thing out there. When we look at this race, racism, prejudice, tradition, we will find that God's standard, the truth, the Word of God, is being totally disallowed, and it is being replaced by the political correctness that is in the world. Now, this is the thing that causes this to be the most dangerous of all, the political correctness. And we just don't have time to get into it this week, but we want to. We want to, and we're going to make sure that we get into it before next week is there. Now, how much time we got left here?
We better draw to a close here. We got about 4 minutes left.
Okay. Well, now, go ahead.
You know, when we think about, as we come to a conclusion, David, really the answer to everything is found in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29.
Amen.
"For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You see, David, we see here that if we are a New Testament Christian,
mm-hmm.
if you are a child of God, then race doesn't matter. We understand that
gender doesn't matter.
Your cultural status doesn't matter, but you have to be a Christian. To be a Christian, David, you first have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. And if you don't believe that he's the Christ, nothing else matters, right?
Amen.
But that's not enough, and yet that's what a lot of people want to believe, but there's still more to what the Bible says about becoming a child of God.
Well, you know, it's impossible to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God unless you hear the Word of God.
Exactly.
And so we've got to hear it, and then we've got to believe it with all of our heart, because without faith it is impossible to please Him. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And so that faith is absolutely essential, without doubting, without wavering.
Mm-hmm.
And once we have that belief, then we know what to do, because the Bible is going to instruct us from here what to do. And the very next thing that we're going to have to do is repent.
That's right.
And we need to explain that word for just a moment. It means to stop doing that which is wrong according to God's standard.
Exactly.
And so, this standard is what people are trying to take out of the way.
So there has to be a change of lifestyle, doesn't there?
Absolutely.
You know, that's what repent. It's not just being sorry that you were caught in sin, but a change of lifestyle. So if you've heard God's word, you'll believe in Him. If you have an honest heart, you'll believe that He's the Christ.
Amen.
If you believe that He's the Christ, then you also believe what He teaches. And He teaches, except a man repent, you should all likewise perish, Luke 13 and verse 3. But David, changing one's life is still another step one must go to be pleasing in the sight of God. We have to be willing to confess the Christ. You know, a lot of times people aren't willing to stand up and make the good confession. And David, I think, is not confession a lifelong way of life?
It is a profession of faith.
Mm-hmm.
A profession of our faith. And Jesus would even go so far as to say in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." And so that confession is very, very important. But right after that confession, we've got to do something that will make a difference in the rest of our life, taking us right on into eternity. And it is baptism. And it is an absolutely essential part of our salvation.
You know, the one that we are to believe in, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Those are the words of the very one to whom we are to believe. When they did that in the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 37, they were added to what? Our verse 47, they were added to the Lord's
church.
Yeah, David, it's critical that we understand the importance of that. And David, really, as one of our brothers told us, really, the key to everything is loving God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will not be prejudiced, mm-hmm. as so many people are in the world. David, it's been a delight to have our audience with us tonight, and we know we've got a lot more to say about this next week, don't we?
Absolutely, and next week we are going to focus on what God's standard is concerning everything that we've been talking about tonight. We thank you for tuning in. We thank you for our callers, the ones on the chat box, and Tom, you've got the last word.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any question or comment. 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, heard every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on this radio station.